The Pledge, your hometown news talk.
Your hometown news talk, 96.5 and 1260. The Pledge. It is Parker and Davis here. Last night, final State of the Union address from President Barack Obama. Eighth and final one. When he came into office, he was campaigning for change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last night, Davis, he again, at the end of the whole thing, was talking about change.
I believe in change because I believe in you, the American people. And that's why I stand here as confident as I have ever been that the state of our union is strong.
He's confident. Obviously, the Democrats who were there are clapping and are confident. But
I don't know how you clap your hands and drink Kool-Aid at the same time, but okay, if you say so. So we invited our own Congressman Bill Heisinger to join the conversation this morning. Bill, you were there last night. Give us your thoughts, because seriously.
How do you clap and drink Kool-Aid? You know those helmets that have the beer can things with the straw coming down? I think that was maybe how they were clapping and drinking the Kool-Aid at the same time. The simple fact is that it had all the feel of a campaign rally speech.
It did,
you know, and it was him trying to sell very broad themes on not what he wants to do, but what he's done, and trying to almost like convince the American people that this has been a good idea and a good direction. And I think he tried to create a false narrative that, no surprise, the Washington Post bought into this morning when they had on their front page, their headline was, you know, Obama calls for Americans not to fear change. And it's like, well, it's not fear. It's just a disagreement in the direction he's trying to go. I'm not afraid of health care reform. I just don't want to have a system that doesn't do what was promised of lowering costs and giving greater access. I don't fear change in the financial services space with Dodd-Frank. I just don't want to punish our community banks and our credit unions. And under Elizabeth Warren and this president, the big banks have gotten bigger, not smaller. They've gotten bigger. And Wall Street is doing just fine. Main Street is where it's where everybody's hurting. And so, yes, our economy has turned around. However, and we know all this from all of our own friends back in West Michigan. West Michigan is doing well. It's not because of the government. It's despite the government in many ways. And people just simply don't have the confidence. They don't feel secure in what's happening. And I talk to small business owners all the time. And they can continually tell me it just feels like we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And that is really a tone that I think has been set over the last couple of years.
So Congressman Bill Heisinger is with us this morning. His reaction to President Obama's speech last night. In your press release after the speech, Bill, you said the president had an opportunity to lay out a comprehensive plan to restore American leadership across the globe. But he chose not to. Why?
Yeah, he missed it. And the irony is that, it's an evening where we saw Iran take into custody 10 of our sailors. And we have had our standing internationally just diminish. And unfortunately, he has not laid out any kind of comprehensive plan how to deal with ISIS. In fact, last night he told us, basically, don't worry about it. It's not World War III. It's not. It's not like they're a real threat to us here. And it's like, okay, we're basically, you just called them the JV team again. Well, and you look at what ISIS has been doing. You look at what Iran has been doing. Saudi Arabia and Israel told us that this was going to happen. They told us that tensions were going to rise and that this was going to be a problem if the administration went ahead with the deal with Iran. Clearly, Kim Jong-un having his temper tantrums in North Korea has real consequences because they're nuclear. That's a huge problem. And he just has not laid out any kind of vision or plan as to how to deal with that. And it's all sort of this, well, we're not going to be the world's policeman, and so I guess if we can't put a coalition together, We're just not going to lead. And meanwhile, our allies are begging us to lead.
After the last State of the Union address, when he said Al-Qaeda is no longer a threat, we saw the rise of ISIS. From a prediction, understanding what is happening on the world stage at a much broader level, are you concerned that by his comments last night about Al-Qaeda and also ISIS not being a major threat, that something else, Iran or North Korea, will rise up as we saw in after the last State of the Union?
Well, look, here's what we do know, is our allies feel abandoned and confused and not sure of the direction that we're going, and our enemies feel emboldened. And, you know, you look at what North Korea is doing, it's in direct conflict with South Korea yet. It's a huge threat to Japan and really that whole region. You see a very emboldened Russia in the Ukraine. You see them operating with abandon in Syria. I think that we have not seen the last of ISIS, or frankly Al-Qaeda, as we saw in Afghanistan with the attack in Helmand earlier this week, and losing a soldier there.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, those dangers are not going away.
Bill, these State of the Union addresses have become so partisan lately. You know, there's one side that's cheering when the president is speaking, and the other side is noticeably absent by not reacting at all. Was there any point in the speech, besides the end, that you felt like clapping?
Yeah, no, there was a couple of things. You know, the president, and this is what I'm hoping that we're going to be able to find some common ground on. You know, the president talked about prison reform and justice reform, you know, and now I had the chief of police from Wyoming, Jim Carmody, who was my guest last night, and he said, hey, look, we need to do that, but what does that mean and what does that look like? So a little light on the details, but that common goal of looking how we are dealing with our justice system is something that that's positive. This scourge of drugs that is just sweeping across the nation, it's in urban, it's in suburban, it's in rural, it cuts across demographics, it cuts across racial lines, you know, whether it's meth or the opioids and the heroin. It was telling me how many deaths there had been just even in Wyoming alone from heroin use and overdosing. And this has just become like the new hip drug for a younger generation. And he very much believes, and I believe as well, that gateway has been created with the normalization of marijuana usage and how easy and simple it is to get it and how accepted it is. And here we are as a state looking at changing the law for it to become okay to use it recreationally, and all the policy problems that are all wrapped up into that. So we've got to get our hands around that as a nation as well. And I am hopeful that we're going to be able to work on some of those things.
Good call having Chief Carmody by your side. What was his reaction to the speech last night?
Yeah, well, obviously he needs to be very careful. He's there representing the city, and he mostly what we just talked about was kind of those two things. In his experience, having been in Port Huron, he was in Port Huron for over 30 years, and then has been chief for about 10 years in Wyoming, and sort of what his experiences have been. And look, there's no doubt police forces around the country have felt very much scrutinized, very much under attack in many ways, and we've got to make sure that our men and women in uniform here on those police forces understand that policymakers have their back. We want to make sure that they are dealing with citizens properly. But you know, it's not about the equipment that they have. You know, there's a lot of controversy about whether military surplus equipment has been used. Jim Carmody, one of the reasons why I invited him, is he led the charge, making the case of why it is a good thing to have access to so many of these pieces of equipment. And as I pointed out before, it's not about equipment; it's about the culture that is created. You can have a bad police culture without that equipment, I mean, we've seen that where a tone is set by a mayor, by a chief, by the leadership. That's really what we've got to be looking at is what's the tone and what's the culture that is being created, not whether they have access to military radios and that kind of thing.
We seem to be very fortunate in West Michigan not to have that culture that you're talking about.
Yeah, we don't. And I think whether it's in our schools, whether it's in our local civic organizations and police departments and that kind of thing, we've got some very level-headed people and great folks that try to help run things. And trust me, I wish way more of the country was like West Michigan than what it is. For a lot of reasons, but we live in a very special place.
Well, and Bill, you raise a very important point, because I think a lot of people that live in West Michigan believe the rest of the country looks and is experiencing what we're experiencing. And quite frankly, they are not. For someone who goes in and out and deals with people throughout the country, you've got to see the vast difference between the living conditions for Americans in other parts of our country versus what we have here. And so when the president gets on television and talks all roses and champagne to West Michigans, we're like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. But to the rest of the country, it's not going to sell. And my question to you is, do other congressmen who have to go back to their representatives today, are they hearing the question that I'm going to ask, which is anybody buying this guy's line?
Well, enough of them that he got elected to a second term.
But do you think he'd be elected to a third is the question, better yet?
It's pretty tough to do that.
And I know.
I think that there's a lot of people, first of all, we know constitutionally he can't.
He can't.
But if he could, I think that's why there's so many people that are very nervous about what's going to be happening with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. It's in sort of this extension of what the Obama administration has done. So, there's big chunks of his speech last night that just sort of rang hollow in my mind, whether it's on the foreign policy, whether it's on the economics that we had talked a little bit about. This felt more like he was trying to sell his legacy than it was really trying to figure out what direction we needed to go.
Another question is, you mentioned the Iranian Revolutionary Army last night, who took in 10 of our soldiers, or 10 of our Navy personnel, did release them. And according to certain publications today, they're saying, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is saying, that America actually apologized. Do you believe that? And if so, that is unprecedented, is it not?
This has been a problem trying to deal with them in a rational way, because they are not rational players. And why this administration continues to try to just pound that square peg in the round hole, it confuses a lot of us. So I believe we should have had a much more forceful response to that. Not having John Kerry say thank you, not having the vice president, out there, saying some of the things that he said. I mean, we've got to make sure that they understand we are operating out of a position of strength, not weakness, and they perceive it way too often as weakness.
Congressman Bill Huizenga is our guest this morning here on The Pledge. What changed after Barack Obama's speech, if anything, Bill?
I'm not quite sure if you mean on the policy side or
as far as how about relationships between Congress and the president?
Yeah.
How's that?
Well, okay. He has never had a good relationship with the legislature, even when it was Nancy Pelosi as Speaker and Harry Reid as Senate Majority Leader. He just hasn't. I had a conversation with a friend, very liberal West Coast Democrat friend of mine, and I asked him at one point, and it's a good genuine conversation that he and I were having. I said, I'm genuinely curious, how often does the president talk to you guys? Because he never reaches out to us, the House Republicans in the majority. And I said, I mean, do they talk to you guys? And he says, never. I said, really? He goes, well, no, you know what? I have to take that back. Only when they really, really want something will we hear from them. And I think that that is sort of the tone and the tenor of this presidency. It is not one of viewing the legislature, whether it's Republicans or Democrats in control, as legislative and constitutional partners, or the opposition. And he has to understand that when he has priorities, he needs to lay those priorities out, work with the legislature, and try to accomplish his goals, understanding that we have goals and objectives as well. And when he rejects those and then tries to go around the legislature and the Constitution, frankly, through executive action and executive orders and all these other things that have been constitutionally very questionable, he's deepening that divide and that gulf. And so that's why it rang hollow last night when he was saying, you know, we need to change the culture in here in Washington, D.C. And it's like, well, you know, you led the charge on keeping it the way that it has been and, frankly, allowing that rancor to get worse.
Doing my math real quick, President Barack Obama in office for 1 week and one more year. And during that time, as you said, he might be out to build his legacy. Should we be nervous about legacy building from Barack Obama?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, you never know what can happen in a lame duck. There's a lot of attention being paid to the presidential races, and not so much to him. We're going to be watching that very closely, but he's going to be done, and his effectiveness and power to get things done legislatively is even more diminished, and so that means we got to be watching what they're going to be trying to do through regulations and through sort of executive orders and that kind of stuff. And the good thing is that a lot of it can be reversed with a President Rubio or President whoever else on the Republican side.
Yeah,
I had to plug my guy there.
There you go.
But we do know that it's once things like that have gone into place, it's hard to get them back out. And we're going to be watching very closely and making sure that we're fighting for the values of West Michigan and keeping an eye on this.
Well, Congressman Heisinger, we thank you for the conversation you took time to have with us this morning, and thank you for your work in Washington. To follow more, go to our Facebook page. We can repost for you Congressman Heisinger's press release that he sent out. You can read more there. Thanks for all you're doing. Great to hear prison reform is a high agenda and justice reform high agenda for both Republican and Democrats. And let's see if we can get something done, real substantive work done in Washington. And thanks for your contribution.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.